Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may have noticed that the scripture readings have the heading today of St. Mary Magdalene. And yes, it is a day that the church has selected to commemorate the life of this woman, Mary Magdalene. Not a lot in the scripture is told about Mary. It says that she is a disciple of Jesus. Now, she's not listed exactly with the 12, but in a paragraph right after it mentions some of the others who followed Jesus on his journeys, and she's right in there. It says that her name means that she comes most likely from the town of Magdala. And the scriptures also reveal about her that she wasn't always the Mary that we knew. In fact, there were some terrible things that happened in her life until she met Jesus. You see, the scriptures say that Mary was possessed by 7 demons at one time, and that the Lord, when he met her, cast out those demons from her. She's not mentioned again until at the empty tomb, there on Easter morning, when she is the first human being to see the Lord alive, and she's the first to speak with him. You see, God gave Mary her life back to her through Jesus Christ. And after that, her life belonged to the Lord because she gave everything she had. You know, reading about Mary reminds me of another woman in the New Testament. Now, this woman we see not after the resurrection, but the week before Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Now, we don't know if they even ever met face to face, but it took place at the temple. In the second temple, that is the temple that Jesus knew, she's mentioned there. It was the week before Jesus' crucifixion, a few days ahead, and you know, Jesus went into the temple and he cleansed the temple. He said, God's house should not be a marketplace, and he drove out the money changers and the merchants from there. And then he began to teach the people. And we have the blessing of having these readings, these sermons of Jesus recorded. But then after his teaching was done, it says in the Gospel of Luke, that Jesus looked over and he saw this woman. She was in line with a bunch of other people, and they were going through the temple, and they were taking out their money, and they were putting it in the offering box. You see, they didn't pass a plate like we do here, but they went up to these little cones, and they would put their money in there. And it was kind of a confession without words. You know, we come to church, and we confess our faith, and then we go out in the world, and we serve the Lord, and people are able to see in us both our words and our works. Well, this is a confession of good works when these people would go and give offerings. And the Bible says that there came that day people wearing really nice clothes, and they looked wealthy. People knew who they were. And I imagine that they were putting in some substantial gifts there in the temple treasury, because that was the thing to do. But then there's this woman. And the one Jesus talks about comes up there, and she's obviously not a breadwinner. I think everybody can tell that. Maybe it's how she's dressed, as a widow, someone whose husband has died and is dependent on the goodwill of others to take care of her. Now, it says that in her hand, she had no gold coins. She had no silver coins. She only had 2 little copper coins called mites. If you've ever seen a mite, it's about the size of your little pinky around the end, you know, just a real tiny coin. But Jesus commends her because she comes up there and she puts in those 2 coins because it was everything she had. Now, it's easy to overlook someone like that who just comes up and puts in a few small mites. I imagine, you know, if one of the children here came up, and during the offering, when that was passed, they put in 2 pennies. We might think, that's a nice thing to do. But in a congregation with a annual budget of $1.5 million, 2 cents doesn't really go too far in human estimation. But out of all those people at the temple that day, putting all their gifts, all the important people that everyone knew, Jesus singles out this one woman. He calls attention to her, and he says about her, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all the rest, because all the other people gave a portion of their wealth, but she has given everything she had." Who of us could give to the Lord everything we have? We struggle just to give him a percentage, don't we? I know you youth going this week, this is some time out of your life, isn't it? And you're looking forward to it. But think about that, you know. Can we give all that we have to the Lord? Well, a pastor was asked one time if God required us to give 10% of everything. The congregation wanted to know. And so it was very silent. And he said, "No, you are free to give God more." You see, this widow who gave her mites, she's more than just an example for us to imitate. There's something inside her that we strive for. She has this kind of faith that trusts God with everything, totally. She's not concerned with her status in life and who she is. She's not seeming to be worried at that moment about not having a husband to care for her and wondering about her future, her retirement, who's going to take care of her, where's she going to live. She's not even concerned with where the next loaf of bread is going to come for her to eat. But she's determined to go down to that temple with a gift, and that God will provide for the rest of her life. Reminds me of an old lady that I knew named Hannah. Hannah lived about half a mile from our country church. And Hannah was just there every Sunday. And she couldn't drive anymore. But if her regular ride couldn't pick her up, she'd just call up somebody in the congregation and say, "I need you to take me to church this Sunday." And one day, Hannah called me. She said, "You need to come see me, Pastor." So I came over and she said, "You know, my five kids have decided I can't live on the farm anymore." And so they came out and they had an auction and sold her all the things out of her house. And she went to live in a nursing home in town. And that was hard for her. But I remember Hannah saying something like this to me, "Pastor, I need you to come and see me and bring me the sacrament. Will you do that?" I said, "Of course, Hannah." No one was going to stop Hannah from going to the temple. And no one was going to stop Hannah from giving her gift to the Lord. This Mary Magdalene seems to have the same spirit. Because after Jesus cast those seven demons out of her life that tormented her, out of herself, how does she thank Jesus? What does she have to give him? It seems that from that moment on, she devotes her life to Jesus. She follows him because she wants to be there with Jesus, who is that heavenly temple come to earth. She follows him. She listens to him preach and teach. She just has to be there to hear what he is going to say, because he, Jesus, has revealed himself to be the source of her very life. And she can't stay away. If you are a follower of Christ, you have come to his temple here today in this church to hear him speak. Does your life belong to Christ like this? Do you feel this irresistible urge to be here with him, to hear his voice, to listen to his teaching? And when he asks, to care for his needs, as these women did who followed Christ with the other disciples. In them, in this Mary Magdalene, in this widow who gives her last 2 cents to the Lord, we have more than an example for us to follow. Much more than that. Because in them, we see a picture of Jesus himself. Philippians chapter 2 says that Jesus made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant and humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. This Jesus gave his life to restore you to God when sin had separated you from your Lord, when Satan had come and more or less possessed you with your own desires and your own wants and needs. And you were lost in that wilderness and not knowing what to do, because when you followed those things, they didn't bring you peace. They didn't bring you the joy that they first did. When you gave yourself over to the world and to your own desires, it wasn't enough. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave everything he had. And all you who believe in him, you belong to him totally. Not only did he create you in your mother's womb, but he also paid the price for your life and brought you back to God. You belong to him totally. And like Mary, you follow him because he gave you life. He gave it back to you. He gave you and revealed to you that real purpose for your life, to serve God as he has now served you, because he gave you life. And like that poor widow, all that you possess, you recognize it belongs to him, doesn't it? He gave it to you. It belongs to Christ because you belong to Christ. So, people of God, when the opportunity arises, like for Mary Magdalene, like for this widow there at the temple that day, let's bring our gifts to God. Let's bring all the things that he has given to us to care for, and recognize that it all belongs to him doubly, through creation, but also through the redemption of Christ. He has shown us the way by giving us everything he had. Let's put all of our resources together. What if we did that? What if we took all of the things that we have and looked at them and saw them as having a purpose, not only by ourselves, our own purpose, but this collective purpose with one another, with people who believe like we do, who worship God as we do, who see a God who gives everything he has for us. And let's use those gifts together. These gifts could be money. These gifts could be our abilities, our talents, the things that we are interested in. It can be our time and our service and labor. It can be our love for other people. Let's let God direct its use. And through that, let's ask God to let his light shine through us, that the whole world may know that Jesus has given everything he had, so that we can give everything we have. Let these thoughts be upon your hearts, your minds this week. And may they give you peace, especially you young people as you journey off and represent us there with 30-some thousand other youth who have dedicated this week to being together and being in God's presence. May God bless you. Amen.